Paul's letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy. And we're going to look at Paul's letter here. Well, actually, there's a... Okay, first of all, we'll go the testimony of Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, and this is 1 Timothy 1:12, who enabled me for that, putting me, counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And what a testimony of our precious brother Paul. And again, this is a faithful saying worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. So as we think about Paul's, the doctrine that is so wonderful today, we think about Timothy. And just want to read a little bit here about Timothy. And of course, we all know just from over the years that his name is Timotheus, Timothy, and which means honored of God. And he was a young man of Lystra, the son of Eunice, a Jewess, by a Greek father who was probably not alive when Paul first visited the home, and that's in Acts 16. And as Paul contributes a full portrait of his spiritual son, Timothy, many years younger, it just, it's a wonderful thing to think about the features of Timothy. He was a child of godly heritage, which is so precious. You find that in 2 Timothy 1:5. His mother was a Christian Jewess and the daughter of another devout Jewess, Lois. His Greek father's name is unknown. It may be that Eunice became a Christian when Paul visited Lystra, a town not far from Paul's birthplace, Tarsus. He was a youthful leader, Timothy was, of scripture. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:15. And it's wonderful here when it's... Here it says that, well, let's go to 14. A workman approved unto God. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Then, it's wonderful, we've read this over the years. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, here's some things he said, Timothy, shun. It's profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So again, it's wonderful. And this again was Paul talking to him. And I'd like to go back actually to the first verse there in chapter 2. He said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And we hear this all the time, and it's wonderful. endure hardness. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strives lawfully, that word lawfully. And the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. And I love this when he gets to verse 7. He says, consider what I say, that give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And we hear this all the time. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So again, you can see the relationship that Paul and Timothy had there. And of course, it was ordered of God. He was Paul's child in the faith, Timothy was, which is sweet. Probably Paul, a visitor of Timothy's house, led the young Timothy during his ministry in Iconium and Lystra, since he refers to his persecution there, which Timothy knew about. He knew Paul's persecution, what he has been through as he stood for the things of the Lord. He was ordained the minister of the gospel. Paul recovered from his stoning at Lystra. It was in Timothy's home that he found shelter. So there is that relationship growing again. God, it's amazing how he brings these things together. We just stand in awe. He was ordained a minister of the gospel, 1 Timothy 4:14. And he was conscious of Timothy's unique gifts. And isn't that just like the Lord to make someone conscious of your unique gifts to him? And especially of evangelism, especially. But he was fitting that Paul should choose him as a companion and fellow worker. Faithfully, he served Paul as a son with the father. And of course, like Paul, he became like-minded. He was a co-sufferer with Paul in the afflictions of the gospel. Now, tradition said that Timothy died as a martyr for his faithfulness. That's just what's said. But it's wonderful when I was reading and thinking about this. But the main thing I want to share today, tonight with my family here is sound doctrine. We're so blessed. Oh, saints, we're so blessed to have sound doctrine. There's all kind of doctrines of demons, doctrines of this and that. It'll make you just almost don't want to talk about it. But then there's the doctrine of Christ. There's the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. And Timothy had the precious blessing of knowing that Paul's gospel was healthy and sound. And I thought about this as I was reading, it's like, what would today's world, we might say ministry, call a sound doctrine? What would you call sound doctrine? And we hear it here all of the time. And to me, it's like, it's a doctrine. And by the way, the word doctrine means teaching. It means learning. But it's the thing that sound doctrine will give us health and growth in the Word of God. If you're sitting somewhere in a meeting and you're not getting sound doctrine, you're not going to grow. There's no growth there, because sound doctrine teaches you and gives you the Word of God, enables you to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and you become healthy. You become mature in things of the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but and it's okay, God used that. I have gone to some meetings that did not teach sound doctrine. God bless them. They love the Lord. They just love the Lord. But they sing more than they did anything else. The songs were just beautiful, but there was no sound doctrine. There was nothing there to teach you to trust the Lord and encourage your heart in faith that God is able, like we have here, to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think of him. First time I ever heard of that, and I was in church most of my life, was here. Not because it's this church, but we are given sound doctrine. That makes a difference. Sound doctrine that's able to build us up again and give us that inheritance. So when you think of, again, metaphorically, I got that out, it means whole and healthy. That's what that means. But then also again, let's turn just for a minute to Hebrews 13:9. Wish I could just remember offhand what this said. I should. But anyway, there in 13:9. We think about. Jesus Christ says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. This is Paul talking to Timothy, talking to us, talking to the church, talking to the ministry today. See, it's not just us, and that's what was on my heart. The ministry today does not, I won't say all of them, but there's some strange stuff out there being taught, saints. And for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. That's what we hear, and that's what we want to hear. That's the only thing that's going to get us ready to rule and reign with Christ Jesus, to be half overcomers. I don't think it said half. I think it said full overcomers. That is the only, would be this doctrine. And so, when he talks about this, we think that it says things like, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. So you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And these things are very important. I will not fear. There is no fear in sound doctrine. What man can do unto me. Other than that, I've talked to some precious saints, and they just have a fear of are they still saved? That's not sound doctrine. Are they still going to heaven? That's not sound doctrine. That's nothing you can grow there by in that teaching of legality. It has to be a doctrine that tells us that we can never lose our salvation. We can grow in grace and knowledge. We can run this race to win Christ. We can have God's best. There is a marriage step. There is a marriage. Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. That's sound doctrine. And that's what we're hearing. Because this age was made in God's mind to get his bride ready. Now, we teach being filled with the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't trade it for nothing, saints. Because that's when my eyes really began to get open to the things of God and understand more of the Word of God. The infilling of the Holy Spirit began to teach me the things that I wanted to know or should know. But without that infilling, the natural mind, the natural anything cannot give us the sound doctrine. And it cannot take the place of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that power. We need that encouragement to be filled. And so again, we think, in my notes here, I was just thinking about people say, well, you know, we teach this or whatever. And by God's grace, I wouldn't argue with anyone. If they're saved, that's my family. It's my sister or brother. But I do have a very sad countenance and heart, thinking that God's people are not getting sound doctrine. You can't help it, because this is what God intended for this church age that we live in. And so it makes you sad. Paul was concerned about unsound doctrine and rebuked it. Because there's no other doctrine other than the doctrine of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, his love and mercy, his grace. There's legality. That's not teaching sound doctrine. No other doctrine should be taught contrary to sound doctrine. But is it being taught today? Yes. Yes, it is. So that's one thing that you can't help but be concerned about. Again, Paul was, Timothy was Paul's child in the faith. He led the young lad to Christianity during his ministry. One writer suggests, and we've heard this through the messages here, which is precious, that when Paul recovered from his stoning, again, I want to bring that out, he recovered probably at Lystra in Timothy's home. That wasn't an accident, nothing. Led of the Spirit to be there in this young man's presence, seeing that God had given him somehow a heart for the truth, a heart for the ministry. And Paul had no other companion. How indispensable Timothy came to Paul, to the point where he served Paul as a son with the father in the furtherance of the gospel. Let's look at Acts 17, 14, and 15. Let's go up there. And it just shows us again. There, it has okay, in 14. And immediately, well, let's start in 11. We were talking about Thessalonians, Paul at Thessalonica. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness in mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So again, we see Paul at Thessalonica. And some of them believed. And then if you go down a little further here in Acts 17, you see Paul at Athens. We've heard all of this because we have some tremendous teachers here teaching us all of this. So in other words, they were noble, which meant they had to be very humble. You see, one thing, another thing I believe about when we have the truth, it humbles you. I don't think we get puffed up in here. I think it's humbling to know that God would give us this truth and provide for us to learn it and know it and have such wonderful plans for us. It has to humble us because it's all by grace and mercy. It's nothing that we deserved or have worked up or worked at or even how we got here in this meeting, even how we came to this meeting, how God provided for us to come. And so, how blessed he was Paul's child in the faith. He was an ordained minister of the gospel. 4:14, it was fitting that Paul should choose him, and this is Timothy, as a companion and fellow worker. Faithfully, he served Paul, a son with the Father, in the furtherance of the gospel. So that's one thing that led me to this study. And there are 7 reasons recorded. And we know the number 7 is spiritual completion and spiritual perfection. Praise the Lord, saints, here that we hear the word without the truth without ceasing. Praise the Lord with tears of joy for the joy of the Lord it brings. Yes, we have been blessed. Paul's letters are for all the ministry of this age, but it's the gift of God, and this letter to Timothy is a reminder of this. It's just sound doctrine. You might say, what does sound doctrine do? It promotes healthy growth. We're growing healthy if we have sound doctrine. And unsound doctrine, Paul rebuked every place he heard or heard it. Paul's concern was no other doctrine. We will share briefly. Also, no other doctrine should be taught contrary to sound doctrine. And I love this because I thought, you know, you just want to know. You want to be aware of what's being taught today. This is Paul's first letter to Timothy. These 2 compact verses indicate that it was not just simply a friendly letter from a father to a son, but rather it's a solemn charge from the chief apostle to the associate apostle, who was destined to be Paul's direct successor. He calls him not a child, but he calls him, O man of God. And you know why? Sound doctrine. If he wasn't in sound doctrine, he couldn't have given him that title, O man of God. Because he would have been what? A baby. A baby. Even starting out, God gave him that title, O man of God. So we're men and women of God here because we, by God's grace, we're taking in sound doctrine. But Paul introduced himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus, which is our hope. Such a salutation would be out of place, but this was too more than a friend because Timothy had become a son in the Lord to him. Grace, mercy, and peace is the common, abundant pronouncement of blessing in all of Paul's letters to the church. Grace, mercy, and peace. Peace with God, flowing deep and calm like a river. Finally, we are filled with the fullness of God, the God of peace. Paul's motive for writing. Let's look at this here. Let's look again, chapter 1 of Paul's letter to Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy. And we just want to verse 3-20. And we want to look at it notes the number of 7. Oh, this chapter contains 7 reasons for writing this letter. And reference here is made to the apostles' first visit to Ephesus. It signifies that the young minister was in the assembly when Paul wrote this letter. A special need was manifest there, and Timothy proved capable, again, of meeting the need. How praiseworthy to make good in whatever service, wherever we're placed, whether we're here to lead the song service, which we praise Linda with all our hearts, or whatever you're here, teaching the young people, it's a blessing. And again, seven times, and this is what Paul says here, he charged them that they teach no other doctrine. Seven times in this epistle, doctrine is mentioned with emphasis. He speaks of sound doctrine, teaching. He speaks of good doctrine, false doctrine, which are many. How deplorable that some preacher speaks against doctrine and warning against false doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines out there, saints. A lot of teaching. A lot of unscriptural teaching. And again, a doctrine means teaching or giving out the word of God. But again, this is what he says. Good sounds, Bible teachers, Bible teaching, Pauline teaching is the only safe, and again, it's Paul's gospel that we hear here all the time, is the only safe and constructive work for any church. Now, we're not going to go out and convince people of this. They're not going to believe this. And we're not saying we're the only church. We know better. But we're saying that if there's any other place not teaching this, it is not the will of God in this age. This doctrine of grace and glory, doctrine of marriage to the Lamb, these are all teachings. They're all something that God has for this age. And if it's not being taught, but the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Paul's heart bore down heavily, and he desired that Timothy, growing up into the ministry, would be moved by this. And it was just something that Paul wanted Timothy to understand. Some have turned away from this doctrine of truth. And that's the other thing. To swerve from faith or leave where you're hearing sound doctrine may not mean much to you or someone. I would be concerned, even if it's not my family, but you are my family. But even if it's my natural family, that would concern me. If I've heard that you left and you're over there and with some precious brothers and sisters, but they're not teaching the truth, I hope that would put me on my knees immediately. That's something to be concerned about. You walked away from sound doctrine. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but it's true. It is true, and it will have an effect of you having God's best and being in that bridal company. Oh, Jesus. But the end of the charge is faith unfeigned. To swerve from faith, overpower pure faith brought by hearing the pure word of God. Romans 10:17. Therefore, Jesus prayed that Peter's faith should not fail. No one should shake your faith. I don't care what they come up to you and say. No one. By God's grace, we should know enough here now to be able to stand and say, well, brother or sister or whatever, show me that. Explain to me where you're getting this, because this doesn't sound like what I've heard. It doesn't sound like sound doctrine. We should be able to say that. It bore down heavily on Paul's heart and desired that Timothy be moved by this, being very concerned. So, from some having swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling. I don't know what that is. I'm going to tell you the truth, but I know it's not the truth. But this is what Paul used to swear, oh, the power of pure faith. That is God's estimate of teaching. They're teaching law keeping, which seems to be the root in this time, or part of it, of all heresy and strife. There are people in precious meetings that love the Lord, and they have an attitude. If you've broken three commandments, it's like, what's wrong with you? Thank God we're not in a place like a meeting like that. You know, it's like, you know, I would just feel like saying, I can't keep none of them. Pray for me, because I don't believe that. But, you know, it's sad, but these things are out there, and they're real. And that's what we want to understand. Let no one shake your faith. To what goal of swerve from faith? Vain jingling, empty, fruitless. There's no fruit if it's not sound doctrine. Idle talking. Don't let anyone do that. Don't give them your time. The apostle does not discredit the law, but the fool who abuses it. The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good if a man use it lawfully. And I think we've heard that in some of the classes here. It's wonderful. But it was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. This is a question. And we're not going to go too much. I just feel like I don't want to go into the law too much, but it just tells you different things about what you cannot expect from the law. We've heard that so much, too. We know. But again, when we think the gospel which Paul proclaimed, it does not only include our salvation that we hear, but our destiny and our reward is also part of it. That's what's wonderful. The church, the body of Christ, will enjoy a higher destiny than the people of the kingdom of Israel, whose destiny is on earth, whose reward, and we just hear that from Pastor. We just heard along that line. Therefore, God has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. That is, we are already provisionally seated in the heavenlies. We can't be moved, which we accept by faith and rejoice. We rejoice as we hear this truth in the hope of glory. So again, he says here, he commits Paul's gospel today. God still finds a few, and I say more than a few, faithful men and women whom he commits Paul's gospel to preach it, to teach it. Precious teachers here, precious classes, precious. The purpose of Jesus coming in is plain. But one thing I want to say before I come down tonight is, it's a wonder when you think about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was given to us. And you know, we know that when we receive the gift, we speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. But the Holy Spirit was sent more than anything else to get a wife for Jesus Christ. That was the main purpose of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to hear that in too many churches. You get happy and shout, that's wonderful to them. But that's not the main purpose. It's wonderful. Sometimes I think, Lord, don't let me. By the time I say that, I just, hallelujah. But that's not the main purpose. My greatest hallelujah tonight is that wedding that I'm getting ready to be a part of, to marry Jesus. And that's what. But again, being saved, we are saints. And it's not humility. Is it not humility to call ourselves anything less than saints? Paul said, howbeit for this call I obtained mercy, that in me as chief might Jesus Christ show forth all his longsuffering for an example. Jesus showed that his mercy and power are able to save any sinner. And he tasted death for every man. In Hebrews 2:9, we won't go there. Paul said, obtain mercy. He thought of himself doing God's will and persecuting the saints because he did not know that Jesus was a Christ till he received the revelation. We just heard that in a Bible story. But a lot of churches today, this is Paul's solemn warning. They have made shipwreck of faith. Is it possible in an Ephesian assembly? Yes. Paul urges his son to maintain a good conscience and faith unfeigned. They were legal. That there were some, I can't pronounce it, I know that. It's Alexander was one of them. But I can't pronounce the Hymenaeus, Naiets. They were doubtless the first to swerve from faith and turn aside unto vain jingling. That was Paul. Some had made shipwreck of faith that Paul had taught. They were legal in spirit. They went on from bad to worse. They were religious shipwrecks before it was over. That's what happened. In 2 Timothy, Paul was associated with Philetus, and I can't pronounce that, given to profane and vain babbling. They taught that the resurrection, just things that were unscriptural. You see, the Apostle Paul's arms reached around the world. He wanted all churches to have this truth and have this wonderful desire and have this wonderful love that only this Holy Spirit can give us, to grow us up, to get us ready to have to be the Lamb's wife. And of course, he wanted all men to be saved. But when you think about spiritual completion and spiritual perfection. Praise the Lord with tears of joy, for the joy of the Lord it brings. Yes, we have been blessed. Paul's letters, again, are for all the ministries of this age. This letter of Timothy is just a reminder. Again, sound doctrine is whole and healthy. And so we want nothing to do with other than precious doctrine that Paul brings to us. So with that, we're going to say praise the Lord. And again, that's the heart I want. I want Paul's heart and mainly my Lord Jesus' heart. I want sound doctrine. Or I might as well go back where I came from. And I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not putting down my family. One side was Baptist, the other Methodist. But I don't want to go back there. I want to have God's best. And I want to win that prize of the high calling of God, Christ Jesus. We had a big family reunion. And I didn't mention it to my daughter before I come down. There in Missouri, where I grew up. They just love the Lord, Baptist, Methodist. But I thought about it, going and praying. But then I thought, you know what? They're not going to listen to sound doctrine. So why even bother? But they love the Lord. But that's what kept me from going to that reunion. And I didn't tell my daughter, because she wanted to get with the family. It's like, they're not going to listen to sound doctrine. Maybe one might have gone, but anyway, I'd rather have stayed home. Brother Hill used to say, with my lovely Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.